lesson.
Yeah, anyway, welcome back. We're going to move into lesson two of the Truth Rising study. It's about truth. Yes, and it's rising. It has risen. Or he has risen. Any thoughts about, let's pray first. I know there's people still coming in, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you for a great, beautiful morning. Thank you for the people that are here. Thank you for those still coming. Pray that you keep them safe. We pray for Jim and others, and just ask that you would uplift them and families, and just pray that you'd be with this study here as we get into this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any thoughts about last week and hope? And it's okay if you don't have any. I just thought I'd see if there's anything that somebody wanted to jump out at with it. No? Okay. Because he's going to start out with a little introduction to it. Before we jump into this thing, this whole idea of truth in today's culture, I find disturbing. Because as I talk with kids, even my grandson, you know, it's, that's your truth. No, it's not my truth. It's truth, okay? There is a thing such as truth. Well, not in my world, and is what he'll answer. And that's the culture that is growing up. And how do we develop the language that can confront that thought process and put it back into, no, there's a foundational truth that exists. There's a God who is. You don't have to believe in him, but he still is. And you're still going to confront him one day. Okay, we're all going to confront him one day. So how are you going to confront him? And, you know, I tell that to my grandson all the time. I say, I don't believe that, so it doesn't matter to me. Well, one day it's going to matter to you, son. Anyway, think about that as we go into watching this whole thing. And Pam brought up a thing this week that I thought, you know, fits into that. How well or how often, how intentionally do you weave Jesus into conversation? You know, because there's times. Anyway, let's go ahead and watch the movie and see what John Stonestreet has to say. And then, again, if you haven't seen the video, Truth Rising, it's on the church's website. You can click on that and watch it. Are the links up yet, Lauren, for these? Okay, so if you missed last week's video, you can go to the church's website and click on the link, and you can watch last week's video, and this one will be up afterwards, and so you can keep up if you haven't watched him, or you want to go back and see what he said, you can go back and click on those links and watch it again. Okay. Could probably just stop there, huh? I just want to read one little thing here. You remember last summer, if you were here, Gerard talked a little bit about Pascal and his Pensees book, collection of little thoughts that he'd put in a basket throughout his life, and then eventually somebody put it into a book. Being curious, I picked that out of Kindle. And it's on my Amazon Kindle, and I read it, and I'm like 4% into it since summer. So, because I don't read fast, B, it's kind of heavy. But this is one I read just last week, actually, that is fits into that little square that he talked about nature. Okay, and this, if you think about Romans 1. 14 through 16 or so, it fits in that also. Those who honor nature well, who teach that she can speak on everything, even on theology. So, you know, he pointed that there are people who just talk about nature as nature and not really pointing to God, but nature points to God if you let it and watch it. So there's not an answer. You can't just look at nature and not let it show you God if you're looking at it honestly. And then that circle that he drew about the never-ending cycle of life that we talk about. I just read a book late summer, early fall, called The Fourth Turning Is Here or something like that. And it's that idea that nature or human life revolves in cycles of 80 years. And each one of those 80 years has a 20-year or so generational turning that we as humans can't avoid. It's just a thing of nature that happens. And he defines all the different generations. And frankly, it's hogwash, okay? If you read it, great. You can. It's a nice history idea. Jeter, if you haven't read it, I don't know. The historicity of it is interesting, except that he excuses away a lot of things that happened out of turn and doesn't let them go, and he totally dismisses God in the path of human history, especially the whole reconciliation piece of it and the redemption piece. So, well, that the one I read had pictures in it. Yeah. So that's my 30,000-foot view of that whole thing. But that's the reality that we're living in. As people read that stuff and they believe that stuff. And what do you think the most profound thing he said in there was? I mean, he said a lot of things, but there's one line that every time I've listened to this, which is a lot, I get this one line and it jumps out at me. And it's about storytelling. Okay? There's a story. If there's a story, there must be a storyteller. Okay? So there's a story to human history, so there's got to be a storyteller. That storyteller is God. It's his story to tell. I have a friend up at the ski area who's really good about that, you know. Somebody will ask a question about somebody, and I'll say, well, you know, that's not really my story to tell. And I really appreciate that about him, is that he might know the answer, but he'll honestly say, that's not my story to tell. And I just appreciate that. And this story of creation is God's story to tell, and he has told it. And it's ours to listen to. So anyway, enough of that. Anybody else? Yeah, Sue. It is designed, it is defined, yeah. Yeah. So you remember that picture that Jeff showed last week with all the colors and the rainbows and the references back and forth? You know, that whole thing, if you think back to the creation and the fall, that redemption piece was spoken of in the fall in Genesis 3:15, right? I will put enmity between you and the woman and between his offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That reference right there talks about the death, but it also looks forward to the redemption, and it's spoken of there. And the story that happened you know, 2,000 years ago was spoken of in the garden, and it's not really done happening yet because that redemption happens to people individually. And I guess that's kind of my question is, you know, given all of these things we talked about last week, that Christ is risen, Christ is Lord, Christ is making all things new, each of us, all things new, and Christ is determined this time for us, where are you in this little chunk of history right here called redemption? And redemption has happened. It's a real thing. But where's your heart in that? Have you believed it, received it, accepted it? And then the reconciled part, that little proposition four, are you living that thing that God has redeemed you for? Those things are jumping out at me as I watch this over and over again. So I'll let you ponder that. Anybody else have something jump out? Yeah, Jan. Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't get that, so Jan's talking about, this is just a moment. This moment that we're in is just a moment, as frustrating as it might be, as, what are some of the other words to go with frustrating? I don't know. But just, it's just a moment, and the big story is still there, and it's important to remember that. Yes? No, it started at the beginning, and it's continually and consistent all the way through it. Yeah. How can you do that? How can you separate the Old Testament from the New? Because it is the story and the idea that foundational truths of creation, who we are, why the whole a girl can't be a guy and a guy can't be a girl, and why you leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife. Those things are all foundational things that come from Genesis, not from anywhere else, from Genesis. That's good stuff. So I'm going to tie this back to the movie Truth Rising just a little bit. You remember the mathematician guy David Berlinski said, you know, that a man could not build a pigsty. A man who could not build a pigsty can nonetheless destroy a chateau. How does that fit into this whole idea? Of a story and a storyteller and where we fit into history. Yeah, the fall, where did it start? Where did the fall start? With who? People, us, okay? Yeah, Adam and Eve were the ones who fell in the garden, but we all exhibit that same fallen nature, and we all have done that same thing. So, so that entropy is there. The world is already disintegrating because of that, and so it's not hard to help it along, right? Yeah. Sue? Yeah. That's pretty poignant, wasn't it? That discussion about the problem is procreation, and God created these image bearers to do that, and yet that hinders what we want to do with our lives, so we excuse it away in abortion. That's another four thing. What are you doing about that? There's lots of ways to be involved in that, but go ahead. Yeah, the beauty of our government and the not letting one person be in charge. Good. We kind of already talked about the next question is what's wrong with the world, but how does putting the context of these four chapters into the world give us hope in the midst of a difficult cultural and personal moment? Yeah, there's a plan and a purpose for the whole thing, and we're just in here in this moment. This is our moment God has given us. You know, Christ has determined this time for us as a place to be and a thing to be reconciled from, to, and what we should do with it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Stephanie. Yeah. Go ahead, Stephanie. This last question is kind of a individual thought piece, but maybe you'd want to share something about it. To what and to whom do you think the Lord has called you to be an agent of restoration or reconciliation, perhaps? You know, what has God called you to? Has anybody hearing anything or feeling anything through what you're listening to that is pointing you to somebody or something? Stacy? Yeah, that's stretching you a little bit, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else Not like that, Marilyn? Okay. Yeah, the things we're supposed to do as individuals, we need to help others with too. So if you're on a direction going somewhere, bring somebody with you, huh? Yeah. Good. Anybody else? Anything you want to say or jump out at you with the movie? Yeah, Sue, go ahead. I see your hand up. Yeah. Families today, reconciliation, the issues going on all over the place. There's just about somebody within arm's reach of all of us that there's a whole reconciliation thing to be dealt with, isn't there? Yeah. Four of the fingers are pointed back at me. Maybe five of them, actually. Good. Well, great. I'll tell you what, why don't we wrap that up for now, and next week is identity. Who you are, how we relate to kind of all four entities. So hang on to that one. That's going to be also some touching introspective things that we'll talk about with identity too. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of where you placed us in history and the history you've created and this world you've created, and Lord, we just ask that you would help us to see what it is that you have reconciled us from, and where we're to go, and what it is you'd have us to work on and reconcile. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.